So good morning, everybody. Frank, thank you very much for inviting me and us here to talk about an almost forgotten technology, Icarus. You're concerned about the schedule, so I would like to also stick to my text here. There will be plenty of time afterwards for questions, and please ask. The experts are here if I cannot answer the questions. Today's designers take it for granted that they have access to tools enabling them to design and digitize fonts on screen. No analog artwork is necessary anymore. 30 years ago, the situation was quite different. The better part of all fonts was either stored on film or on bitmap format, the latter for CRT typesetters and all kinds of printers, like line printers, dot matrix printers, and laser printers. The CRT typesetting technology was invented by German engineer and pioneer Dr. Rudolf Hell in Kiel, Frank mentioned that, in 1965. But about 10 years later, not that many fonts were available for those new modern digital typesetters. So companies like Linotype, Berthold, Monotype in the United States, CompuGraphics, Autologic, and so on were struggling to convert analog film fonts for digital use. The production process was quite tedious. First, the artwork needed to be scaled for the appropriate scanner in use, and after the scanning process, the bitmaps had to be edited for each size or size range. They had to find people who were educated and trained for this kind of job. Type designers wouldn't do the scanning and editing. Technical designers like punch cutters in the hot metal era needed to be trained. All this took a lot of time, was very expensive, and the typesetting world was really ready for something better. Icarus was the solution to almost all of the problems described. So how did it work? Peter Carroll, here in the audience, and speaking today of UAW Hamburg, invented a format to manually convert means hand digitize letter forms to digital data and store these data in a computer. Carroll's format calculates a smooth line through points digitized along the contour, like you see on screen here, and transfer the information to a numerically controlled flatbed drafting machine, a plotter, reproducing the original forms. This is what he originally called Icarus. So about the Icarus philosophy. Icarus was built for heavy-duty font production from the very beginning, having in mind the enormous amounts of analog artwork that needed to be digitized. After its introduction in the mid-70s, Letraset acquired the rights for Icarus for a number of years, and they wanted it to be used for its studios in Ashford and London. Letraset was the company best known for dry transfer sheets in those times. At the same time, when they acquired the rights, Letraset paid for the entire UAW studio to produce major parts of the Letraset font library to convert this to IK format. Obviously, they were very nervous about the future of the market, and obviously also they had a lot of money and were quite eager to get the fonts converted. During that period, Letraset's management, namely Mike Danes, for example, regularly visited URW in Hamburg to check the process and the efficiency of the work. Resultingly, URW was driven to improve the effectiveness and the productivity of the system all the time. Due to the improvements, the production time per font was reduced by factors in those years, while still ongoingly enhanced the quality of the fonts. So I try to come up with the major advantages of the system, which are still valid today. And I'm going to go through these advantages now and talk a little bit about each one. The pictures you see are just samples of the way we digitize characters along the contour. The IK format is very simple. You have corner points, curve points, and tangent points. That's a point where a straight line goes into a curve or vice versa. So that's very easy, the rules to digitize. So first of all, one of the major advantages of this system is a perfect database. Like Unicode today, each glyph had its own unique encoding from the very beginning in Icarus. And like in Unicode, each glyph was described by 2 bytes. So large glyph sets, like in kanjis, Japanese characters, where you have 7,000 and more glyphs per font, have never been a problem in Icarus. IK data was easy to convert to any machine format, like today's TrueType and OpenType formats. Today we have standard formats, but 30 years ago we had many, many different formats. So it was important to define a format that was easy to convert to those machine formats, typesetters, printers, and so on. This is in German, so my apologies, but this is the hierarchy of the system we use. So the lowest level is a digitization, 1 point, and digitizations form contours, and contours form characters, and characters are organized in fonts, and fonts are organized in libraries, and all archives together form the URW library, which today are many, many thousand fonts. So easy data input. At URW, it was a strict rule to manually mark analog artwork and only after careful marking digitize the glyphs. I think one of the reasons why Peter Carroll was so convinced of hand digitizing at that time was the lack of easy editing programs in the beginning years and the tough problem of perfect order tracing for fonts. URW's font production designers would then digitize artwork without immediate visual proof, so the digitizer was connected not to a visual screen, for instance. You had to digitize and check the results later on. Only after finishing the digitizing could the data be output on a flatbed drafting machine. Corrections were made manually on that drafting output, go back to another computer screen and type the editing values. That was the way we worked. Before soon, however, the first graphical editing programs were introduced with Icarus. And the hand digitizing process was directly connected so that we could immediately see the results of the hand digitizing process. Still, it was a very strict rule to manually mark and manually digitize any analog font artwork. Carroll's claim was there is less time to win by scanning and order tracing than you lose by the additional editing caused by this. I think that's still true today. Also, the screen resolution was not accurate enough for direct editing back then, like many designers work today. I have to say that my experience with the many customers I've get to know to date appreciate the quality of the fonts we have, the digital outline quality. I'm not talking about the design necessarily, but the technical quality. Companies like Adobe or Microsoft still would confirm that the font data we produce is the very best in the industry. Back in those years, it's a long time ago, storage requirements were really an important subject. I know it's not really an issue, but you have to understand that the average computer in the 80s or 70s had 256 kilobyte of RAM and 10 megabyte disk. My latest PC at home has 8 gigabytes of RAM and 1 terabyte disk. That's more than the entire URW group had at its disposal 25 years ago. Storage was extremely expensive at that time, and it was important to save storage space wherever you could. A typical Latin typeface, like the recent semi-centennial Celebrity Helvetica, would only use 20 kilobyte in IK or in Icarus. Kanjis, again, Japanese characters, are about 5 times as more complex than Latin glyphs. And if you consider that there are 7,000 and more glyphs, a kanji typeface would take 3.5 megabyte. I'm sure you understand that Japanese customers just went crazy about Icarus. When URW developed the first interactive font editor for Icarus, there were no standard graphical user interfaces, such as Windows or QuickDraw today. So we gradually developed a URW GUI based on our designers' and customers' needs and requirements. The philosophy and functionality of the IK editor today are not very much different from state-of-the-art editors under Windows and Mac. All interactive functions are at your fingertips. Editing can be done interactively, as well as numerically, and of course in batch, nowadays better known as scripting. So this is all part of Icarus, and it has always been part of it. The IK format stores coordinates at 100 of a millimeter, or 15,000 units per AM. There are no bumps or other irregularities in manually digitized IK fonts. You can blow them up to any size and they will just work fine. Today it's much about screen resolution, but it's not all about it. Think of posters, sign making, and other large output, large size output. Yeah, this is just something in between. Albert-Jan, I saw you already. Hello. So the Dido seminar, this picture was taken there, was held at URW in 1992. It was a major type event of the year, and URW hosted more than 200 international participants through the three-day seminar. Albert-Jan Pohl, as many of you probably know, is a Dutch designer who managed our font department in the early 90s. Before that, he worked for Scangraphic, a company that produced typesetting systems in Hamburg, in competition to Berthold and other such companies. Scangraphic, like all the other typesetter companies of the time, developed their own font library with Volker Küster, Jan-Albert Pohl, and Jelle Bosma. URW delivered the IK data for all of their fonts, and the three experts mentioned produced final Scangraphic fonts to go with the typesetters. Scangraphic, like URW, had different fonts for text and display. They called them body and supertype. We call them text, display, and poster. Today, different fonts for those different sizes are not really wanted anymore. We sometimes tend to believe that hinting is something that came about with the introduction of Adobe's PostScript and Apple's LaserWriter 300 dots per inch in the early 80s. But obviously, the low-resolution problem is much older. That is, as old as digital typesetters and printers are. As mentioned before, Dr. Hell invented the first typesetter in 1965 already. URW invented the non-on-the-fly hinting of outline fonts long before Adobe and Linotype presented hinted PostScript Type 1 fonts in the mid-80s. The ideas and concepts in Adobe's on-the-fly PostScript font renderer, better known as Adobe Type Manager, were clearly taken over from URW. Hinting is the lingo for controlled on-the-fly rendering of outlines into a low-resolution bitmap. Like you see here in the second glyph, you add information called hints or instructions in TrueType to the outline, which are interpreted by the renderer, and consequently, better bitmaps are obtained. As mentioned before, before Icarus was used in the type world, font manufacturers would scan their artwork on drum scanners, for instance. The amount of editing work required was tremendous, and a lot of time and money was saved when URW supplied the soft scanning, which is outline to bitmap conversion. Even without preparing the high-resolution outline for low-resolution bitmap rendering, the results were so much better than hard scanning. As Frank mentioned, I started my professional career at Hell in Kiel, and during that time I was also introduced to the font production and worked there for a couple of months. And there I got an idea how tiring and time-consuming bitmap editing after scanning was. The font people at Hell were extremely grateful when URW provided hinting programs for digital outlines. Yeah, this looks very technical, and as mentioned before, URW's first offline hinting program was called PASSE. It is a batch program processing pre-edited command files. First, the program would sort of analyze all characters in a font by way of measuring its parts to be controlled for later low-resolution rendering, and supply a report file to the designer who could check the measurement results, which would look like this. I'm not going to go into this in detail because it takes too much time. So it took about 4 to 8 hours to hint a complete typeface and produce high-quality bitmaps for different resolutions. The hinting really, this is more important, the hinting is done on what we call descriptive elements. So the elements marked in those characters are controlled during the rendering, the rasterization. And those parts are hinted. That's when you call this term, or when you hear this term, that's called hinting. So upon the success of PostScript and the including font renderer, ATM, with 13 or 35 so-called core fonts in the LaserWriter, third-party developers would soon come up with PostScript clones. There was a tremendous need for equivalence of the renderer and the fonts. Based on our PASSE program, the hinting program, and experience with the low-resolution font requirements, we developed the Nimbus font renderer and sold it quite successfully in the 90s. Mike Parker, the guy at your lower left, he's co-founder and former president of Bitstream, one of the major font and tool suppliers in the U.S., joined us and enhanced our sales force in the U.S. after leaving Bitstream. Everybody knows that Mike was the very best salesman for fonts and font technologies in our small industry in those days, so we were quite happy to have him aboard. Mike is a good friend of mine, and he's still around, actually, working for Font Bureau these days, around Boston or in Boston. So, URW was a very successful and prospering company in the 80s and 90s. This is a shot of the roof-raising party of the third out of four company-owned buildings in Hamburg. URW had offices in the US and Japan, in the UK, in France, and in the Czech Republic, as well as a joint venture in Shanghai, China. Also, we ran a second font studio in Dresden with former TypoArt font designers. All in all, we had a total staff of 250 employees, with about 50 experts in the type department alone. TypoArt, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, was the central font supplier in former East Germany, located in Dresden. Like every other font manufacturer, TypoArt used Icarus for the production and of their typeface library. After the German reunification in 89-90, TypoArt went out of business, leaving a fine library of Eastern European type designs. So Icarus is well suited and perfect for modifications, which are very helpful in font production. Font modifications like the ones listed here are so much easier with outlines and than with bitmaps, and the IK form it proved to be just ideal for the major modifications required in font production. So, for instance, enlarging. Apart from the obvious benefits for the typesetting industry with scalable fonts, the invention of outline fonts brought a major breakthrough in sign making, where before Icarus, characters or signs in a particular size were either punched in large numbers or individually manually cut by craftsmen who could do that in the good olden days. The Icarus form, it enabled sign makers to produce in any size on demand. Within a few years, URW became the dominating sign-making system supplier in Europe, and URW's Cygnus fonts are today legendary. Italicizing in Icarus, you can automatically generate truly italicized versions, avoiding such commonly known distortions with just electronically slanted fonts. This function saves a lot of time when designing and producing a new linear sans serifs. The larger the family, the bigger the savings. expanding and condensing. Those programs allow automatic generation of expanded and condensed styles while protecting the vertical stems and just using the white space in between in order to keep the weight of the funds. And again, the larger the family, the larger the savings. While possibly easy from a programmer's point of view, the interpolation program in Icarus is maybe the most powerful. Interpolation works best for forms identically digitized, where the points are identical, but even for shapes where this is not the case. All of the very popular superfamilies, not only URWs, like Neue Helvetica and others, were built by using interpolation. If the number and positions of the IK points are identical for the two, for the lightest and the boldest weight, the results are just perfect. Imagine the amount of time you save when your family comprises of 24, 48, or even more weights, and large families are very popular. So let's talk about some of the modifications. These modifications are not as often used as the before mentioned ones, but good to have if you need such a modification or special effect. Our sickness customers just loved our modifications, and some of the programs like the contouring or shadowing are very complex and sophisticated. It took years to program them. Although not really a big company, URW has always been a global player. For more than a decade, URW was the one and only supplier of professional font tools, namely Icarus. It was licensed throughout the world, very heavily and still today in Japan, but also in Korea and Taiwan. It doesn't strike as a surprise that our working staff has always been international. The guy on this slide is from Shanghai in China. He used to work for us as a programmer for DTL Fontmaster. Originally, hand-digitized characters in IK format were converted to DI, that was the format for the plotters, with line and arcs. Over the time, it turned out that IK could be easily converted to any output format. We defined our own line and arc, vector, run length, Bezier, bitmap, B-splines format and other formats, and with them we could easily convert to any customer format. As mentioned before Type 1 TTF or OTF, every customer, almost every product, used to have a proprietary font format of the kind described above. So if there was a laser printer manufacturer asking for fonts in his own proprietary format, we could easily supply those fonts. Another big advantage of the system are the batch programs. In the early days, it wasn't possible to develop programs with such powerful interactive editing features as we know them today. Also, it took a lot of time to display a character in a reasonable resolution and time. Designers were trained to do most of the editing offline on paper and then go back to the computer and type in XY correction values. This was a very fast and efficient method. Other editing features, such as aligning all characters to positions like the baseline, the X height or cap height, A center, D center, and so on, were executed in batch. Write a command file and let the machine do the work for you. Very powerful and not old-fashioned anymore, as it seems, with ever more scripting being on vogue. Also, serifs were produced, one or more serifs per character set. Just define it, and a command file would automatically build them in perfectly. Those batch functions help a lot to reduce the production time and avoid human errors at the same time. Although the Icarus program had never become quite powerful and efficient by 1982-83, the typesetter manufacturers were not able to convert their huge font libraries into outline format fast enough to satisfy the need of their clients for more type. URW was asked to automate the hand digitizing process, finally. A difficult and tough task it should prove. Several programmers at URW tried to come up with an acceptable algorithm for the what we called ME program, Finally, we finished the first of many to come versions of ME and licensed that program to almost all our Icarus customers. It was a busy time. Analog artwork and bitmap fonts were auto-traced by Icarus, later on manually edited and improved. Finally, in many cases, I have to think redigitized by hand. So the manufacturers were nervous about getting out the libraries to their customers and would heavily use the ME program, but later on had to improve the data. So ME was a complete success in Asia too. And the abbreviation stands for Mergenthaler, which was Linotype at that time. And they were the first customer. Spacing and kerning in Icarus. At the time, we developed the UOW sign-making system called Cygnus. We ran into a problem. First, we didn't have enough typefaces suitable for the sign-making market. And secondly, we wanted them to be spaced appropriately for this large output application. And to make a long story short, we invented the automation of spacing and kerning based on pretty complex algorithms measuring the white space between glyphs, taking ascenders and descenders into account, of course. Every single Cygnus font was delivered with three different kerning tables, like you see here. So we had a standard long kerning where every possible value every possible character combination had one value. So for 100 characters, you had 10,000 kerning values. Our spacing and kerning set a new quality standard in the world of sign makers. So another picture. That's part of the UOW group in the mid-80s. I think it was 85, 86, I don't remember. Professor Hermannsapf in the middle of the picture, it's a living German design legend from Darmstadt near Frankfurt, designed a range of new typefaces for UOW in those years. Also his wife, Gudrun Zapf von Hesse, designed two very beautiful typefaces for UOW, Colombine and Alcuin. The two young people on the right-hand side, it's Cleo Huggins and Dan Mills, they are from California and were sent to UOW to learn all about Icarus and professional font production. At that time, Cleo and Dan worked for Bigelow and Holmes in San Francisco. Later, both were hired by Adobe. Adobe's early type director, well-known designer Sumner Stone, he worked for Autologic, a former Icarus customer in the LA neighborhood. Well, no wonder the traces of our ideas and principles can be found in Adobe's products, even today. UOW's automatic kerning is part of InDesign. If you click the optical spacing instead of the metrical, the technology inside is UOW. The guy next to Cleo, right behind Peter Caro, is Mark Jumra, another U.S. designer who spent a few years at UOW designing and producing his first major font family, Jamil, with Icarus. Jamil was released by ITC, the former independent font design marketing company from New York City. It's now owned by Monotype, sharing the same destiny as Linotype and other CompuGraphics and other font manufacturers. The question is, who is next? By the way, UOW was commissioned to digitize and distribute all ITC typeface releases from 1984 until 1994. So typefaces like ITC Stone or ITC Officina and many others were produced at UOW. So, yeah, coming to my conclusion already, Icarus is a very powerful, close-to-perfect font design and production software. The system reflects over 30 years of type design and production experience at UOW and its many customers around the world. Much of the power has been put into DTL FontMaster, the common development of the Dutch type library and UOW++. When Icarus was initially developed, there were no GUI standards such as Apple and Windows, as I mentioned. We had to design a proprietary user interface, which at that time was driven by our and our customers' users. The Dutch type library, namely Frank Blokland, is the architect of the GUI of the DTL FontMaster, and he brings in plenty of excellent new ideas and functions and utilities as well. Thank you very much.